Preacher, you know that song right there, I think, right? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. I have a precious friend. He's precious to me. How about you this morning? Praise the Lord for it. I want you to find your place in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I was preparing another message in preparation for this hour, and the Lord directed my attention to a message that I've already preached here. It's been a long time ago, back in 2010. It's in my family series. By the way, if you'd like a copy of that series, there's 16 messages. If you'll call the church, they can help you get that. So I'm taking a message out of that series this morning. The Lord just has really drawn my attention to this message, and I want to be sensitive to Him. I was given a name here. A man by the name of Mr. Arthur Nate is in the John City Medical Center. And also, I believe, another gentleman by last name Nave. Both of these were given to me, one by just speaking to me, the other one by a note here. They've asked us to pray for them, so we'll pray for them during the opening prayer. Ephesians chapter 5, we're around the Valentine part of the year here. My Valentine is here. She's in eyesight. She's up there in the balcony, almost a straight shot from me right here. That is great. Glory. God has been good to me, friends. No doubt about it. Amen. I like it. Ephesians chapter 5, just one verse of Scripture, verse 25. I'm preaching a message today that's specifically for husbands. But I want us all to understand the principle behind this, because every one of us can apply this message to us in this way, that what I'm preaching about today is how Jesus Christ loves me. So even if you're not a husband, which that rules out all ladies immediately, by the way, if there is a lady that says, I'm the husband in this relationship, there's some problems somewhere, okay? The fact of the matter is this: every one of us can rejoice in how much Jesus Christ loves us personally. And this message, even though I'm preaching specifically to husbands, I want us all to apply it and think and dwell and meditate on the thought of how much the Lord really loves me and how much He really loves you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it. I'm going to take that verse and bring out three things. And I'm preaching to you on this subject: loving like Christ. Loving like Christ. Because this verse says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. In other words, just like Christ loved the church, husbands are to love like Christ toward their wives. Now let's pray together. I'm going to share this thought again. I want us all to think about the Lord, but specifically, if you're a husband, this is for you. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that as I give this message, I pray that it's given in the right spirit and the right heart attitude. And I pray that you help us to really dwell on the love of Christ for us. If somebody is here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray today will be the day of salvation. Help them to see how much you really love them. On top of that, I pray that you'll apply this sermon to us, all of us in a general sense, in loving one another, but specifically to husbands who is being spoken to in this verse. Help me as a husband to get from this what you want me to get. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's three things I want to give you about loving like Christ. First of all, we see loving like Christ demanded. We see this in the language right here. Just stay right here in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice the language: husbands, love your wives. Question, is that a request he's making, or is that a command he's giving? It's a command he is giving. In other words, the Lord is not suggesting here that husbands love their wives, but rather He is directly commanding them to love their wives. Let me say this to you. Loving like Christ is a command that we as husbands must choose to obey. God has demanded for His husbands, if you will, I'm talking about His born-again children, those who are husbands, He's commanded husbands to love their wives like He loves us. This same command is found in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. See, when I wake up in the morning, and as I walk through the day, every person is confronted with society, with sin, and with other things. And may I say, especially to the men, this applies to everybody, apply everything to yourself, just where you're at. In other words, wives ought to do the same things with their husbands. We agree with that, but I'm specifically talking about husbands here. When I'm confronted with sin, when I'm confronted with society, when I'm confronted whenever I'm driving down the road, my heart's right, but there's a billboard right there, and I know that I should not look at it. At that moment, I am to choose to love God and love my wife like He loves me. You know the reason men do what they do and their wives don't feel loved? Because they are not listening to the command that God has given them. Listen to me, please. Hollywood has taken love and tried to turn it into an emotion. And I'm telling you this morning that love is not an emotion you feel. Love is a choice you make. Did you hear what I just said? It's not an emotion you feel. It's a choice you make every day of your life. And if you really love your mate, apply it to where you're at. Even ladies apply this now, but specifically men. If you really love your mate the way that God loves you, you will be true to your mate. Is Jesus Christ ever going to, is He ever going to turn to another and be unfaithful to me? No. So if I'm going to love my wife the way that Christ loves me, I will never be unfaithful to her. By the way, you can be unfaithful, without it ever being sexual. If you start talking to another girl, or you start having an emotional relationship, or you start giving that lady what belongs to your wife, your time, your effort, your language, I'm talking about phone calls, all these kind of things, in my opinion, that is not right. Amen. I'm telling you that if you love like Christ, you will listen to the command and you will choose every day of your life to choose to love your wife. You know what I'm glad? I am glad that the Lord Jesus Christ chose to love me. He chose that. Did I deserve it? No. I still don't deserve it. But He makes a choice every moment in eternity that there will never be a time when He does not love me. Boy, we need that in our homes. Loving like Christ demanded. Number two, loving like Christ described. Notice what the Bible says here in this verse. It says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church." Now, in that, even as Christ also loved the church, Christ loved the church. Let me ask you a question. How do you describe that? How do you describe how much Christ loved the church? I want you to hold your place here, okay? Because we're coming back. But I want you to flip back with me just a moment to the book of John. John chapter 15. I'm going to show you something that the Lord gave me several years ago. And this is nothing new under the sun. It's not like this is a revelation. This is just something that the Lord really showed me something here that has been a real blessing to my life. How much does Christ love the church? John chapter 15, how much does Christ love me? Because I'm part of the church. The church is the body of Christ, those who are born again. If you are born again, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you. How much does He love you? We're trying to describe this. And let me say this to you. It's indescribable, okay? But let me just give you some things that will help just shed a little bit of light on it. Look at John chapter 15 and verse number 9. This is Jesus speaking. Here's what he said. As the Father hath loved me. Pause. How much does God the Father love God the Son? How much? Stay right here now. Stay right here. Because Jesus says right here, as the Father hath loved me. What kind of love is that? If anybody can describe it, you're kind of fooling yourself if you think you can. Would you agree that the love of God the Father for love, I'm talking about the love of God the Father for God the Son is a pretty supernatural, gigantic thing? Notice what he said right after it. Even so have I loved you. Let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. As much as his Father loves him. Now think about this. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Look at verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I don't know about you, that's convicting. You know how much God has told, really, believers here. He's talking to believers, but in Ephesians, where he's talking about husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, it's the same principle. Husbands are to love their wives with the same love that Christ loves them, which is the same love that his Father loves him. Now, let me say this to you. In our text, he demands us to love our wives like he loves us. The husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church, which is how God the Father loves him. And even though this is indescribable, you cannot describe it. There's three things I want to give you here. There's three things that summarize this love. Now, God the Father's love for God the Son, which is God the Son's love for his church, which is me, which is what my love is to be for my wife, which is what God's children's love is to be for each other. That love is indescribable. But I'm going to give you three things at least that it is. Now, it's many more, but let me give you three things at least. Number one, describing this love, first of all, it's an indisputable love. You know what that means? I mean, the Word of God says in John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me. Question, did Jesus doubt that his Father loved him? No. There was no doubt. You know what it means to be indisputable? It means to be undoubtedly true. It's unquestionable. There's no question mark that God the Father loves God the Son. There's no question mark there. There's an exclamation point there. It's indisputable. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's true. It's indisputable. You cannot argue it. It is true. The Word of God says in John chapter 5, verse 20, the Father loveth the Son. Matthew 3:17, Matthew 17:5, Mark chapter 1, verse 11, Mark chapter 9, verse 7, Luke chapter 3, verse 22, Luke chapter 9, verse 35, God the Father, in all those verses, identified his Son as my beloved Son. He loves his Son. Here's what I'm saying. There's no doubt that God the Father loves God the Son. And I'm telling you, there's no doubt that Jesus Christ loves the church. And in the same way, there should be no doubt from the wife that her husband loves her. It ought to be indisputable. She ought to look at him and say, I'll tell you one thing, he's not perfect, but there's no question in my mind, my husband loves me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not much, but I love that woman up there. I'm going to tell you something. I love her so much, I can't hardly stand it. I'm serious. Good night. I looked her, hey, listen to me. I looked her right in the face and I told her recently, I said, listen, sweetheart. I said, I want to tell you what Jesus told me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to tell you something. You know what my heart rejoices about today? It's indisputable to me that Jesus loves me. I have no question in my mind, does Jesus love me? Sure he does. No question. And let me say this to you. If a marriage, either one, husband or wife, has a question mark on whether their mate loves them or not, something's terribly wrong. Something's terribly wrong. Is your love for your wife indisputable, sir? Does she know by the way you treat her and speak to her and how you treat others around her and things you do and things you won't do? Are you showing her with your actions and your attitude and your words, I love you, I love you, I love you? I'm not trying to embarrass you. Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, I'm challenged so much by you. What love? What love? I'm telling you this morning, I can't describe it, but I know one thing it is, it's indisputable. Second thing it is, it's individual. What's that mean? Notice what the Lord said in John 15:9, as the Father hath loved who? Me. That's individual love. God the Father loves God the Son individually. Here's what the point is. God the Son doesn't have part of God the Father's love. He has all of it. He's given all of his love to his Son. And his Son has given all of his love to me. See, he loves the church singular. Do you see that? He loves me. And I'm telling you, Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God who loved me. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. What's the point I'm trying to get across? I'm trying to get this across. We are to love our wives individually. What that means is this. Them and them alone are to be the recipient of the husband's love. You are not to love your wife almost with everything you have, but then you love that also. Or you're giving part of your love to her and part of your love to somebody else. That's not Calvary love. That's not the love that that Ephesians 5:25 is talking about. This love in Ephesians 5:25 is a love that's not only indisputable, it's individual. It gives them everything. And I know I'm saying some things here about my wife, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. And I want you to know that what I say from this pulpit, I'm not exaggerating. Some preachers do that, you know. I've done that in the past, I'm sure. But I'm not exaggerating. And by the way, I think it's good for the church to know that you have a pastor who's in love with his wife. And his wife, I hope, is in love with me. Amen. No, I don't hope she is. I know she is. I mean, just look at this. How could she not be? You know what I'm saying? I mean, realize you open the door there, okay? Don't look at this. It might make you sick. You know what I mean? But I want her to know, that the love that I have for her, there's no other woman on planet Earth that has that same love. Amen. It's an indisputable love. It's an individual love. Number three, it's an indestructible love. What's this mean? God the Father loves God the Son eternally. Forever. It will never end. Can you conceive a thought that there would ever be a time that God the Father didn't love God the Son? Think about that. It's never going to happen. I mean, it's indestructible. It's always going to be. And you know, Christ loves the church with this same kind of love. And he gave it to us. I've already quoted it in Hebrews 13:5. One of the greatest promises that he's given his church is, I will never leave thee. nor forsake thee. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that no matter what I do, He still loves me. Aren't you glad of that this morning? A husband is to love his wife with this same love. And if he does, it's going to be an indestructible love. Nothing should ever cause you to stop loving your wife. If you love her like Christ loves you. I had a man tell me, this was years ago. I had a man tell me he had left his wife or something. I don't remember all the details. He left his wife. And I spoke to him and he made this statement. He said, I just don't love her anymore. Boy, I'm glad Jesus isn't like that. Amen or not, friends? See, a man who says that has told on himself. It's not that he fell out of love with his wife, he fell out of love with God, friends. Because see, and let me go ahead and say this, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. This love is supernatural. You can't do this in the flesh. Your flesh will say, I'll love you as long as you meet my needs. I'll love you as long as you treat me right. I'll give you what you give me. It's a 50-50 street. Hogwash. It's not 50-50 street. It's a 100-100 street. And it's not you with her and her with you. It's you with God and her with God. That's what it is. It's like the old triangle here, the pyramid, if you will, with God at the pinnacle and the husband here and the wife here. If you want to get close to each other, you must, as individuals, get close to God. And as the husband gets close to God and the wife gets close to God, they naturally get closer to one another. But if the husband gets close to God, but the wife stays down here, yes, his heart can be right, but their marriage is still suffering because only half of them made it to the pinnacle. Follow me? I'm telling you that the greatest thing you can do for your marriage is not look at somebody and say, boy, I tell you, by the way, anybody ever comes, typically what it is, is if he would do this or she would do that or if he would stop that or she would stop that, there's a whole lot of he and she in that language. And one of the first things marriages need to do is they need to take a good look in the mirror of God's Word and say, God, am I where I need to be? You need to make sure that you're at the pinnacle, you see. And then beg God to help your husband or wife get there with you. I'm telling you that you can have heaven on earth in your marriage if God is where He needs to be in your individual lives. Let me tell you why my wife loves me. It's not because I'm so good looking, even though that's part of it. It is because she's walking with God. Why are you laughing at that, friends? That's troubling when somebody laughs at a statement like that. But what am I saying here? I'm saying that the reason that we have such a wonderful marriage, and I'm not saying that we've arrived. There's things we need to work on. No question. We don't have a perfect marriage, but we have a really, really, really good one. God has blessed it. And I'm telling you, the reason we do, it's not because I'm such a wonderful husband and it's not because she's such a wonderful wife, which she is, but it's because every day of her life, I know it as a fact, she walks with God. And every day of my life, I'm walking with God. And there's a love that He's put in my heart for her that detracts from everything else. Because when God is sitting on the throne of your heart, God rules, God reigns. His Spirit has filled you. He's controlling you. And He says, don't look there. That's not right. And you say, yes, sir. Because you love God and He helps you love each other. You see? It's indestructible. Jesus is always, His love is always ready to receive and hold me. No matter what I do, I know His arms are always wide open. By the way, you know what some people say? Oh, you just advocate you can live any way you want to live. Let me say something to you. The love of Christ constraineth us. When you really get a grasp on what Jesus does for you and how much He loves you, you will do everything you in your power to be exactly where He wants you to be. Not because you're trying to deserve His love, but just because you're like, you mean He really loves me that much? And I'm telling you, yes, He really loves you that much. It's indestructible. There will never be a time that He does not love you. I want to read this to you. You can flip back to Ephesians and wait on me there. Listen to these verses. Listen to these verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Get this. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Get this. For I am persuaded, get this now, listen closely. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's that saying? It's saying if it's death, if it's life, if it's high, if it's low, if it's any other creature, if it's peril, if it's sword, if it's famine, if it's this, if it's high water, low water, you say it, no matter what happens, nothing, absolutely nothing. Principalities, powers, that means the devil himself, the things you cannot see. Those are some powerful things, by the way, friends. What he's saying is that no matter how much power it may have, no matter what it may look like, no matter what it does in life or death, if it helps me live or if it makes me die, nothing will cause God to stop loving me. Nothing. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. It doesn't matter what happens. God still says, I love you. Does your wife know that about you, sir? Does she know that there's no other creature that will separate your love from her? By the way, a creature can be an animal or a person. Sometimes it's one and the same. Amen. Does your wife know, sir, that no matter what happens in your marriage, that no matter what happens in your life, does your wife know, sir, that your love is unconditional? Does she know that you love her no matter what? It's indestructible. There is nothing can separate God the Father's love from God the Son. There is nothing that can separate God the Son's love for the church, which is me, and there should be nothing that can separate my love from my wife. Convicting, isn't it? Let me give you a third thing. Loving like Christ is demanded. Loving like Christ described, finally, Ephesians chapter 5. Loving like Christ demonstrated. Demonstrated. Notice the language here. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. There's a demand. Even as Christ also loved the church, we try to describe that. Here it is. And gave Himself for it. Christ loved the church so much that He gave Himself to her. He died for the church. See, Christ demonstrated His love for me by giving Himself for me. Listen to these verses. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, that means demonstrated. He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Acts 20:28, the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Galatians 1:3-4, our Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as God hath also loved us and hath given himself, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ demonstrated his love for the church by Calvary. You know what some people approach marriage as? I'm going to leave because she's not meeting my needs. I'm going to look elsewhere because he's not meeting my needs. Somebody like that, excuse me, they are selfish, sinful, and self-centered. Boy, I tell you, it was easy on Jesus to hang on the cross for me, wasn't it? Boy, that was easy on him. Boy, I was really giving him everything I could at that moment. Only thing I was giving him was sin. That's all I had. Hey, that's all he had. That's all of mine he had on him on Calvary, friends. I hung him there. Let me ask you a question. When he stretched out his hands, hey, when they looked at the Son of God, they were looking at God incarnate, friends. Pilate looked at Jesus and said, don't you realize I have power to kill you or power to set you free? And Jesus said, you have no power at all over me. Not unless it was given to you from above. Here they are spitting in his face, blindfolding him and slapping him because they knew if he really was the Messiah that he would know who it was. They had no clue what he was doing. See, they thought the Messiah was coming to set up the kingdom then. Jesus had another plan. He came to die. And as God who spoke the worlds into existence and knew their very thoughts and the very hairs on their head, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb dumb before her slaughter. God let sinful man lay him on a cross and drive spikes through his hands. God gave his feet and they drove a spike through his feet. The Bible says he gave his cheek, gave his back. His bones were out of socket. Do you see him hanging there? He even said to his father, I don't understand all of this, but he said back in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, if there's any other way, let's do it that way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see him hanging there, bleeding and dying. His facial hair pulled out by the roots. Spittle running down his face. Blood coming down from the thorns. Spikes in his hands. Spikes in his feet. He's dead now. A Roman soldier takes a spear and runs it up through his side. You say, what was he doing? He was saying, Jody, I love you. I love you. If you ever have any doubts, remember what I did. He demonstrated his love for us by giving himself to us. You know what marriages need? They need a husband and a wife, and instead of saying, what can you give me? They need a husband and a wife who says, I'll go through anything. I'll do anything I have to. I'll give myself to you. Selfish. What can you give me? Hogwash. Loving like Christ doesn't say, what can you give me? Loving like Christ says, I will give all of me. Even to be crucified if necessary. There is a story, I'm just about done here, but William Gladstone announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons told a touching story. This is years ago. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess, said, whatever you do, don't kiss your daughter, because if you do, she's highly contagious and you're endangering your life by breathing the child's breath. And once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms. It's her baby girl, you see, to keep her from choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, oh, this tears my heart. The child said, Mommy, kiss me. Kiss me, Mommy. Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter, forgetting the danger to her own life. Not long after that, the mother got diphtheria. Some days thereafter, she went to be with the Lord. Sin says, stay away. Stay away. And Jesus said, Father, I'll go. I'll become a man. And I will become like them to deliver them from their bondage. Husbands, have you demonstrated your love for your wife? Are you walking in your marriage with your wife giving, 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 giving? Are you walking in marriage to your wife saying, taking, 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 taking? I wonder, are you really loving like Christ? By the way, this is good for young men who are not married yet. If we discovered that we had 5 minutes left to say what we wanted to say, every telephone booth and every cell phone would probably be occupied by people calling other people. And a lot of them would be their own mate. Just to say, I love you. If you're sitting there right now and say, if I had 5 minutes left to talk to somebody, I wouldn't talk to my spouse. I'd talk to such and such. And you, sir, or you, ma'am, need to get your heart right with God. If I had 5 minutes left, there's no doubt there's one person in this life, if I had one person to talk to, there's no question who I'd make that call to, and she's sitting up in the balcony. You know what some people think? Well, if I had 5 minutes, sure I'd do that. I want to ask you this, why wait till your last 5 minutes? And by the way, you may not have 5 seconds. You may have 5 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. But the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'm closing. I'm going to ask Miss Rachel, if you don't mind, to come to the piano. And as she's come, I appreciate you playing recently so much. God bless you. But as she's coming to the piano, I want to draw this to a conclusion by saying two things, or two major thoughts. Number one, I want all of us right now to think about how much Jesus Christ really loves me. How much does He really love you? There may be somebody here today that in your heart you don't know for sure that heaven's your home. And I'm telling you right now that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish of everlasting life. And I want to invite you to the Savior who loves you so much that He died for you. On top of that, I want to talk to marriages here today. Specifically the husband. The wife could be touched in this, and I know that. But specifically the husband. If you're a husband, I want you to listen to me closely. Let me tell you why we ought to love our wives like this. Because He told us to. And He's been so good to me that no matter what He tells me to do, my answer should be yes. You know what I think would be great today? It's between you and the Lord. During the invitation time, I think it'd be great for a husband. Maybe you've never done this before. You might shock your wife by doing this. If God has spoken to you as a husband, when we give the invitation, why don't you reach over and grab her hand, or go ahead and grab it now and say, "Sweetheart, we're going to the altar. We're going to pray." And I want you to know that I want to love you like this, God helping me. There may be a marriage sitting here today. That's what you may have heard language. It's on the rocks. I'm just trying to tell you it doesn't have to be. And one part of that is if the husband would love his wife like Christ loves him. My, what a difference it would make. You can't keep her from leaving. You can't keep her from doing her own thing. But you can take away the excuse that her husband doesn't love her anymore. And love her like you've never loved her. I feel God here today. I feel the Lord dwelling on how much He loved me. Thinking about the wife that He gave me. I can honestly say I don't know what I'd do without her. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's talk to Him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought and use it. Speak to our hearts. Bless, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If somebody is here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you've never trusted Christ. When Brother Gary begins to sing, momentarily when he begins to sing, I want to invite you to come to the altar. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we will spend time with you to tell you about Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here today that you've been recently saved. You've trusted the Lord as your Savior. You've just made this decision, or maybe it's been recent, but you've never come and made it public. This is not something you have to do, but the Word of God says that you should not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And when you come and say, "I've trusted the Lord as my Savior, I've already done that. I did that this week, or I did that in the past, but I've never come forward," and you do that, that encourages our soul winners to keep going. Encourages God's people, say, you know, to see God save souls. So you come. Or maybe as a husband, you want to grab your wife by the hand and say, "Sweetheart, let's go pray. Let's go pray." As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, come now. Would you do that as he sings? Come, please. Come
have
now.
Thine
please.
Own way.
Now's your time.
Lord, have thine
now's
own
your
way.
Time. Come on to God.
Thou art the potter,
speak to him.
I am the clay.
Ask him to help you.
Mold me and make
bring your wife to the altar.
After thy will, while I am waiting.
Let's sing on, Brother Gary. Sing on, please. God is moving. We're going to give him time.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Mold o'er my being absolute sway. Thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ. Christ only, always living in me.
Sing on, Brother Gary, please.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me.
They're playing through softly. You can look this way. Folks are praying. We're dealing with some people. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt in my mind there's a marriage or two that you know in your own heart. When you come to church here, it's all fake. You can put on a smile, you can shake people's hands, but you and your spouse know when you get home that it's not real. You say, does he know about me? No. Has he got me in mind? If that's what you're thinking, then you're the one I'm talking to, okay? We need a steady dose of this kind of love in our homes. It breaks the heart of God to see marriages break up. And one reason it does is because he knows that he will never break away from his wife. By the way, some of the greatest people in this church have been divorced. I'm not throwing punches. You know me better than that by now. Some of the greatest people have been divorced. But I'm saying the relationship you're in now, I'm talking to marriage now. That's what I'm talking about right now. You determined to have loving like Christ going on. The Lord will be pleased with that. Let me give you some names here. Just keep on playing. I love to hear the instruments play. You played that beautifully. I appreciate that. You played a lot better than I would, you know. My grandma, bless her heart, she doesn't like to be called grandma. That's Ma sitting over there. She's doing a great job. I appreciate it. These are our children who've come. As I call your name, you're already standing with the Chucks there. Is it Rashid Williams? Which one's Rashid? Did I say your name right? Wonderful. Is this Jaden Williams? You brothers? Wonderful. Maurice, is it Uribe? Is that correct? I'm on a roll, aren't I? And Peyton, is that Cooper? Peyton Cooper. All four of these young men all came in on the bus. I think all of them bus riders, and all four of you young men today are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? So today you've asked the Lord to come into your heart. I'm the pastor. If I come down there, as a matter of fact, I'll come down there because I believe I may be eye level with you. We're close, aren't we? Yes. Have you happy for these young men? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for it. By the way, God helping us, them buses are going to run till Jesus comes. Amen. Daniel Mosley. Where's Daniel at? He's over here. God bless you. Outstanding. Daniel has been saved. Not today. It was in the couple weeks ago. And he's coming today to make it public. Confessing today that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? Wonderful. Appreciate you, precious couple. God's using you. You stay here with us, okay? God bless you. Will Jenkins. Is this Will here? And Will has trusted the Lord Jesus in his home. So in your home, somebody took the Bible, shared the gospel with you, and you bowed your head and asked Jesus to come into your heart. Is that correct? You're not playing games. You mean this. And according to the Word of God, welcome to the family of God. We'll see you in heaven someday. These folks are in the Stepping in the Light program, or we're working to get them there. Outstanding. This is Taylor and Timmy Thurman. Timmy was saved recently and got a burden for his wife. This is his wife, Taylor. Wanted us to come by and talk to her. And we went by Thursday night. They allowed me to take a Bible and sit down with Taylor, her on her couch there, your child and another child running around and all this. Made me feel right at home, by the way. She understood the gospel. And both of them are coming. She was saved Thursday night in her home. He was saved earlier and got a burden for his wife. But they are both coming as a couple today to make a public profession of their faith that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is this true? And you're confessing the Lord. That's outstanding. I feel like running home. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to drive. But I feel like running home. By the way, this is why this church exists. We're so thrilled. They're going to be going through the Step in the Light program. That is outstanding. That floats my boat is what that does. We're thrilled. I want to invite you to stay right there. Let's go ahead and take the young men out so they don't get tangled up and so on. That's why I leave early, so I don't get tangled up as well, you know, with my size and so on. I appreciate you being here. How are you happy for these precious people over here? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? If you'd like a copy of this message, especially you men. Now, if you ladies get it to give it to your husbands and they were here, then that could be taken wrong, okay? But anyway, if you'd like to have a copy of it, you call the church, just make a request. We'll get those copies to you. Please be back tonight for this special send-off service for Brittany and Levi Mullins. Be a special time. You don't want to miss it. 6:30. Okay? Leadership meeting, 6 o'clock, right here in the auditorium. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask our Preacher Lashley, if you'll dismiss us, sir, please. Thrilled for you. God bless you. Thrilled for all of you. God bless you. Appreciate you being here.